Well, good evening. Glad you're all here. I wasn't sure how many people would actually show up tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm thankful. I'm glad that you're all here. I have something that I had a sermon ready, about like all ready to go, and I had everything down about basically until yesterday the Lord pressed something else on my heart, and so I was swayed. I was like, I prepared. I was ready for everything. And the Lord's like, no, I want you to talk about this tonight. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to, because I know what happens when I don't follow your will. Learned that back at college a couple of times. So I'd like for you to go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 2. And that's going to be kind of give us an idea of what we're going to talk about tonight. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentles, showing all meekness unto all men. The first phrase of that verse, to speak evil of no man. I want to talk about the power of the tongue tonight, talking about the tongue. That I know of, it's been a while since we, talked about the tongue. I kind of did a study on it last night, actually, yesterday, and I found some verses, and I would like to share that with you as well. So, it's speaking evil is pretty common for us. It's natural for us as human beings to talk evil about other people. It's in us. It's our flesh. It's very easy for us to talk about others behind our backs. I actually misplaced my verses that I had on my sticky notes. That is not good. This is off to a great start, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Oh no, where did it go? Once I find that sticky note, we should be set. Thank you, Sam, my right hand man. Thank you, appreciate it. Alright, now we should get going here. Alright, so speaking evil, it's like I said, it's natural. That's our flesh, especially in today's world where I work. There's a lot of that happens. And I'm sure all of you have been at job sites and things like that. Even at stores, there's like gossiping and stuff like that. It's what we do. Our flesh enjoys talking bad about other people. It's just natural. It's really, really hard to actually encourage and to compliment other people because, well, we're selfish. We like to compliment ourselves, like, you see that? I did a good job. Look at me. And then if somebody does it better than you, you're like, well, good job. Yeah, good job. Good job. You did actually better than I did. But to humble ourselves, it's hard. It's the flesh. It's natural to speak evil of other people. Our context in Titus 3, like I said, Paul is talking about civil leaders in this passage here. In verse 1 of Titus 3, it talks about putting them, the believers, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And then, of course, the next verse, the phrase there, speak evil of no man. Boy. Politics. I have to confess, I have talked bad about politicians before and how lousy of a job that they've done. When we should actually maybe talk about not being displeased with their actions more than the person themselves. We should be actually praying for our politicians and those that are in authority for us. Kids, speaking of authority, it's from young to old, kids, you know, you're like, me and my parents, they don't know nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't know what I've been through. They don't know what I'm going through. I'll let you know that they actually have. They were your guys' age, and they have experienced things, and they've done things just like you have. And that's why they tell you to do things that you shouldn't do. They have wisdom. They've experienced it, and they don't want you to make the same mistakes that they have. Even your pastor, you know, people are like, pastor don't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what I'm going through. That person, you know, they offended me. They've done something before. I'm sure pastor has never had anybody do that before. Well, actually, he might have had that happen to him, and probably more often than you realize. And that's why he encourages you by using the scriptures and stuff, and he tries to teach us and to help us to grow and become more mature Christians. Baby Christians, they obviously, they kind of, they're learning about different passages and scriptures and talking about different things about how a Christian should live, how they should act around others and do things like that. And the tongue is probably the hardest one for a Christian to do, obviously, because we use our mouth a lot. We talk a lot. Well, some people more than others. If people ask me, you know, there's certain people that are like, what is the strongest muscle in a person's body? I'm like, the mouth, because they talk a lot. They don't know when to stop talking. But honestly, though, the tongue is very powerful and it's very hard to control. You can use it to encourage. You can also use it to destroy you. To speak evil comes from the world. And the word I looked up, it means to blaspheme. And to blaspheme, think about that. Basically is to destroy somebody's reputation or name, or to lie, be deceitful. God talks about not to blaspheme, and of course, taking the Lord's name in vain, cursing. I'll confess to you, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a little kid, I got into a bad habit of actually cursing. I swore before as a kid. And it was from being around friends at the public school, bad influences, and also seeing some movies that had language in it too. And so naturally, when I saw it as a young kid, I didn't know better. I just used those words in my vocabulary until one day my parents heard me say a not so appropriate word, and they looked at me with a stern look and they're like, don't you ever say that again. I was like, okay, they're serious. So I was like, yes ma'am, yes sir, until a week and a half later, and I did it again. But this time, instead of giving me a stern talking to, they took me to the bathroom, and I got to taste Dove's hand soap, you know, that gelatin stuff, the clear stuff. Guess what it tasted like? Soap. It was really bad, let me tell you. It took me about the rest of the day to try to get that taste out of my mouth. But I am thankful for that, because I never did it again. But it's very easy. The world has this huge influence on us, whether it's movies, friends, people you are around. It presses down on you, and it's like trying to, it like has this, it's just evil, and it just try to, it presses down on you, and if you're not careful, it starts to impact you, influence you, and molds you into what the world wants you to be. We have to be careful about that. And so I did some, like I said, I did some research. Now that my verses are here, we're going to look at some verses. So just buckle up, hang on, and here we go. So we're going to go to James chapter 3 and verse 8. James chapter 3 and verse 8. Actually, let's go to verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. Think about that. I'm sure some of you have been to Reptile Garden, if not all of you. Some of those animals are actually, they're closed up in a cage and everything, you know. They get fed by the people. People actually walk, like the alligators, for example, people will actually walk in there with a bucket of food and basically will pass out the food to the alligators. And like snakes, I know of a couple of people that have pet pythons. I would not recommend doing that. And some people have, of course, like horses. I've rode horses for like 7 years. And you can control them. You can tame them. Animals can be tamed. It's very easy. By mankind, these creatures that God created are tamed. But look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. How true is that? If we're not careful, we can't control our tongue by ourselves, obviously. We need to have, obviously, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and Christ guiding us. And there will be times where we'll be tempted to say something wrong and to put other people down, speak evil against each other. And I'll have some verses that will try to maybe help encourage us not to speak evil against each other. So James chapter 3, 7 and 8 right there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs is probably my favorite book in the Bible because it has so much wisdom and so much good standards, and it gives you kind of like a balance of morals and what God wants us to do as Christians. He kind of gives us what the world does and what we should do as believers. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life. I think of that as, again, you can either use your tongue to bring life or death. It's very easy to kind of, as some people say, take the wind out of the sails, you know, bring people down, just kind of tear them down. Or you can build them up, encourage them, edify them as we should as believers. Also go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. "The heart of the righteous stayeth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Talking about studying the righteous, they study to answer. I believe it's talking about the scriptures. In my personal opinion, this is what it's talking about. The righteous, if the heart of the righteous, they study to answer, as the Bible says, to study to show thyself approved. Of course, the mouth of the wicked, though, they poureth out evil things, gossiping, complaining, being disgruntled, anger, bitterness, all those things are evil and it's of the world. And it's a very common thing, and we should be careful and avoid it. Let's also look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." There again, talking about how the tongue, those that speaketh, it can be very, it's like a weapon, it's like a sword, and it pierces, and it cuts down, and it destroys. But the mouth of the wise, it actually heals. It's comforting. It kind of, if someone is hurting, and instead of going there and discouraging them more and hurting them more, those that are wise, they actually come there and they encourage them, and it actually kind of puts a bandage or a kind of like a healing ointment on the sore or the wound of that person. Words of encouragement can be a great blessing to those that are in pain and hurt. Let's also go back to Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. A Christian should be able to have to the point where he is able to hold his tongue to speak when he knows he should speak, and to hold back the temptation of discouraging and destroying other person's reputation or his testimony, or even to just being a discouragement. And he that does that, he keepeth his life. And I feel like in a way that's talking about how he... I feel like it's talking about having joy in his life. Because a lot of... I've met people that are angry and they have, like, no friends at all. No friends, because they're always angry and they're always negative and they're always disgruntled about something, complaining and stuff. And people don't like being around complainers or angry people, negative people. We, as Christians especially, we should have joy in our lives. We should have happiness. We should be, like I said, an encouragement to each other, edifying each other. Now I'd like for you to go to, we're going to go out of Proverbs, and we're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. And this is, of course, this is a conversation of Jesus and the Pharisees. And this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And in verse 44, he says, "Ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Lying. That's another one that's sometimes common for us as Christians. Sometimes, like Pastor mentioned in one of his messages recently, where he's talking about sometimes when we get caught in the corner, it's just easier just to lie about it. A little white lie. Not a big lie, you know, just a little white lie, being basically deceitful. We can't do that. Obviously, because when we are deceitful and we're lying, we're actually like Satan. We're like the devil. Obviously, in Genesis, it talks about when Satan came down as a form of a serpent. He came to Eve in the garden, and he throws out a little doubt at Eve. He's like, "Yea, hath God said? Really? Did he actually say that? Are you sure about that?" He's the father of it. He's the best liar there is. And obviously, being born in the flesh, it's natural for us to lie about it. I'll give you another thing. As a kid, not only did I use bad language before, but I also lied. There was a time where I was in school, and I don't know, it was like a routine. I was in school, and the first day of each school year, I would be sent to the principal's office. I have no idea. It's just a routine that I had. I usually got in a fight with people because they were aggravating me, annoying me, poking me, and stuff like that. And there was one time, I think I was like in first or second grade. I was with some friends, and they're like, "Hey, let's do something fun." I was like, "Okay, where are we going?" So we go to the guy's restroom, and they're like, "You see these paper towel dispensers? And it's got the sensor, you wave your hand and the paper towel comes out." Well, like, it was really stupid, but we were like, my friends were like, "Check this out." He stuck his hand underneath the paper towel dispenser and he pulled the little metal holder for the paper towel. And the paper towel came out. I was like, "Whoa, that's cool." And so we were in there for like 5 to 10 minutes playing with a paper towel dispenser. And when the teacher came down to check on us, there was paper towel everywhere. I mean, it was just everywhere. And when she opened the door, we were like, oh, we're in trouble. We got sent to the principal's office. And the principal, it was my turn, got to the principal, and he's like, why were you playing with the paper towel dispenser? That's a waste. You know that, right? I was like, yeah, it is. He's like, you are in trouble. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm in trouble. He's like, I'm going to have to tell your parents. I'm like, oh, please don't do that. I know I'm going to get in trouble. Please don't do that. And he's like, I'll think about it. I want you to actually write this letter and say, my name is Joseph Williams. I am a second grader who basically wasted all the paper towels in the bathroom, and I am apologizing. I will say I will never do it again. And basically, I did that, and I was like, okay, I'm off the hook. I did what he asked. He's not going to tell my parents. At the end of the school day, my mom pulls up. I get in the van, and she's like, so, how was school? It was good. Good. Real good. Yeah. And she's like, oh, really? You're like, nothing bad happened or anything like that? I was like, yeah, nothing bad happened at all. No. And she's like, you're lying to me. The principal called me. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, the principal called me. So we went home, and I got the rod of correction for lying to my parents. And so, again, I did that, and I was like, I can't do that. There's consequences for doing wrong, and lying is one of them. And I am thankful for that. So lying is very dangerous. It's easy to do because you try to get out of a situation. It's easier just to lie. It's not, though. It's better to be honest, come forward, know that you did wrong, and the consequences won't be as severe as getting caught lying and not admitting that you were wrong. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. And it says, thou shalt not go up and down, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Talebearer, I looked that up, and that's basically a gossiper, people that gossip, they like to tell stories about other people. We'll just use the pulpit. So, talking about a talebearer, a gossiper, it's very common in the world. People like to tell stories about other people. Whether it's true or not, they just like to tell stories about other people. And, you know, there's people at my work, they're like, hey, I got a story to tell you about so-and-so. I'm like, I really don't want to hear about it. I got things to do. I try to avoid it because it's easy to get caught up into gossip. It's very easy. And if you're not careful about it, and if you're not spiritually prepared in the day, you just get dragged right into it. And before long, you start spreading gossip. It's very contagious. It's very easy to get into. So be careful about gossiping. We shouldn't talk about others. If you hear about something about somebody, instead of actually spreading it to some other people, you should actually go to that person that you heard the story about and talk about it. Ask them, is this true? Is this happening? Instead of making matters worse and having the possibility of tearing the friendship that you have with that person. You should be concerned about that matter if it comes up instead of just spreading the wildfire. Now I'd like for you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. I also look up guile. That's an old English word, but basically it means craftiness, being sly. And I came to the conclusion that it also means being deceitful. Like I said, being deceitful, it's not like you're actually blatantly lying to somebody. You're giving them a little bit of truth, but you're also giving them a little bit of a lie, too. You're mixing it up. Being deceitful, God also doesn't want us to be speaking guile, being deceitful. We should refrain our tongue from evil. Now, I'd like for you to we're going to go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. And it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness." So there's a little bit right there. Talk about verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. There's a lot of families out there that they're just angry and they're yelling and screaming a lot. They never answer each other's questions softly, especially when it comes to maybe people getting into trouble, like the parents mad at the kids, and a lot of times the kids are mad at the parents, so the kids yell at the parents, and before long it's just a screaming contest. And grievous words stir up anger. There's a lot of people, not that I know of, but I take that back. I have known of people who have they just like to get into fights. They like to stir up people, get people angry and stuff like that. I have no idea why they do it, but obviously I don't think it's a good idea talking about grievous words stir up anger. We shouldn't use grievous words. We shouldn't try to cause fights and have people anger, have anger towards foolish things. And but like I said, it's very easy for us, especially as believers, if we're not careful, we might say some things that we probably shouldn't say, but when we say it, it's too late, and we can't take the words back. It actually might hurt our fellow believers. It might actually turn lost people away just because of what we say. We need to be careful of what we say. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise, and of course, speaking of those that are in God's word and is close with the Lord, having wisdom and just speaking knowledge. There's friends that I had at college, and that's basically what they were. I might have had some things come up, and I actually go to that person to help me and encourage me, and they would give me scripture all the time, and they would be an encouragement, and they're like, "I'm praying for you, I'm with you, if you need anything, just talk to me. We can go through the Bible and look at different passages to maybe help you out." And then again, I have been around other people, and all they talk about is foolish things, foolishness, things that are maybe temporary, things that might not really have any meaning to eternal things. Always talking about sports or vehicles like cars and stuff like that, food, a lot of people like food, money, jobs, things like that. Or they might just talk about really, really foolish things, things that are inappropriate and things that are ungodly and wicked and evil. We have to be careful about that as well. Let's also go to James chapter 3. Again, James chapter 3. And again, we're going to go to start in verse 7, and we're going to go all the way through 12. For For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse he men, which are made after the simulated of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Basically, the writer here, he's talking to the believers, and he's like, why is it that there's many believers and Christians that we bless certain people and we curse certain people? We basically love certain people and we hate certain people. We despise them, we reject them. And he's basically giving us examples in verse 11 and 12, talking about a fountain bringing forth in the same place sweet water and bitter. I like water. I like ice cold water. We have a well, and it's really good water. I've also had some really bad water before, and it's not so good. And think about that. Go to a fountain, and you're drinking, you're like, it's really sweet. All of a sudden, it just gets bitter. It doesn't make sense. It's not right. It's very confusing. That's not what happens at a fountain. And talking about a fig tree, can a fig tree bear olive berries? Or can a vine bring forth figs? I have never seen an apple tree bring a pineapple. Or I haven't seen a peach tree bring forth a coconut. All right. It's not right. He's like, this doesn't make sense. Why we should be as Christians, we should be encouraging and blessing each other, we shouldn't as believers be cursing certain people and blessing certain people. We should love people around us. We're made in God's image, and because of that, we should hate maybe the sins that they're doing, the actions. The world, they don't know better. Some people have never heard about the Bible and Christ or anything. And they're just doing because that's what they feel like. That's what they feel like they should do. They don't know better. And so I feel like, in a way, as Christians, we should not be, we shouldn't be disgusted and angry and have bitterness towards those people. But we should be compassionate. We should give them the truth, but we should give it with grace and love and compassion, and be like, hey, listen, what you're doing is not right, and this is the reason why. I'll show it here in the Bible. Pull them to the side. Obviously, not everybody is going to accept your kindness and your politeness, but we shouldn't just be like, everybody is that's not saved is completely against God, and they're doing it because they're being rebellious, and they're doing it because that's what they were born in the sin, they were born in flesh, and so they just don't know better. That's why we should speak kindly, but also giving them the truth and love. I have a story here. It says, a Christian man, he worked in a large Christian ministry as a supervisor over a department. His immediate boss told him to lie to cover for him, because of his boss was in a very not so good situation. So basically, his boss was telling him to cover up for him, to lie. The Christian man, he refused, to the point where he almost was fired from his job. But the Christian man the Christian man, after he refused not to lie, he also refused to speak evil of his boss. Even though his boss asked him to cover up for him and to lie for him, the Christian man actually didn't even speak again behind his back or anything like that. A few short weeks later, he was actually promoted, and he was he was promoted and he got more, he was blessed. Obviously, God saw his, saw what he did. Even though he was told to lie, the Christian man was like, I can't lie for you. That's sin. I can't do that. It's going to ruin my testimony. It's going to obviously ruin your testimony. It's going to destroy God's name if people find out about this. I'm not going to lie. I can't do it. But then, again, he could have gone to his co-workers and stuff like that and start talking about what his boss did, but he didn't. He believed that God would take care of it, which he did. The boss was relieved from his duty, and that gentleman took over for him. It's amazing how God sometimes puts us in a very difficult situation. He's testing us. He wants to see what we would do in certain situations. And if we pass, obviously he blesses us. And then if we don't pass, there's always the other opportunity. The Lord is very patient with us, and God is very patient with us, and he will continue to give us these tests as we go through our Christian life. Talking about angry people, it never pays to be known as an angry person. And he speaks evil of others. But it might be good, it might be a good thing to know as someone who can be trusted and say the right things. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church of Colossae. In verse 6 it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We should, like I said before, I mentioned, when we speak, we should speak with grace, but it should be seasoned with salt, the truth. We shouldn't be nasty and disgusting towards people when they might be doing something wrong, or if they ask us a question. We shouldn't be hostile towards them, but we'll also not lie about it either. We won't be deceitful. We will always speak with grace and truth, and we should answer that to every man. Whether you might like them or you don't like them, we should always speak in truth. And it's hard for us because, again, we live in the flesh, we're in the body, and we are selfish. We like to please ourselves and not other people. And sometimes we don't like to also please God when he asks us to do things that are maybe uncomfortable for us or difficult for us to do. Now, how do we maintain or control our tongue? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Talking about gossiping and being deceitful and sneaky and sly and lying and being discouraging and destructive with our tongues. How do we overcome that? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This is going to be the judgment here for us believers and for the lost as well. This is the judgment seat, and this is the white throne judgment. Every man, everything that we say, every idle word that we say, we're going to give an account of, which is a scary thought if you think about it. It should be a sobering thought, not really a scary thought. But we should be diligent in what we say and what we do with our speech, because in the end, God, Christ is like, this point in your life, when you're talking to this person who was actually lost, because you said this, he turned his back away and lost his chance of getting saved because of you. That thought comes to mind to me. I got to be careful of what I say around people and what I do in my diligence in my speech. I have to have integrity, and I should be walking circumspectly with my speech and try to control my tongue and everything I say. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21, please. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Again, being able to keep your mouth and your tongue and your speech in check, because if you do so, your soul in the long run will be spared from troubles. There's times where there's times where I have said things and I brought trouble on myself because of it, like talking about tasting soap and then gaining the right hand of Christian fellowship for lying. We need to be careful and to keep our mouth and our tongue and our speech in check. And by doing that, memorizing verses like these, and like Matthew 12:36 and 37, this one as well. There's also Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Well, that's a hard one right there, because even for me, not every single day is it going to be a nice, happy, sunny day. You know, running through a bed of roses, as some people would say. You know, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be difficult times, because life is hard. And sometimes God allows trials and tribulations to come through to test us again. When the going gets tough, a lot of times, us Christians, as believers, we like to murmur and complain and gripe about the difficult times. We should be thankful in every moment of time and not murmuring and complaining and disputing, because when other people see that, they're like, well, they're just like us, those Christians. And today, right now, with everything that's going on in our government and everything like that, a lot of people are, I know, because I have coworkers that are, they watch the news and stuff like that, and they watch the politics, and they're like, man, did you see what Biden did? I was like, nope, I didn't. And they're like, why are you always smiling and stuff like that? Have you heard the news? I'm like, no, I don't listen to the news. I have something that's far better than, you know, politics and the president. And, you know, I have joy because I know this is not my home. Yes, it's sad to see that this country is struggling to with morality and spiritualness is very, it's in a dark, dark time. But I have joy because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know that when this time on earth is done, I'm going to be living with Him forever. So we should have joy. We should be thankful about the times. Yes, even though there's times that are difficult and challenging, we should still look to Christ and praise and thank Him for all the things that He's done. And He will lead us through those times. And last but not least, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I feel like this is kind of what summarizes what I talked about tonight. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt communication. And I just kind of scratched at the surface of all the things that this world does, what the flesh does, lying, gossiping, being deceitful, deceiving each other, talking evil against amongst themselves and against each other. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying. Like I said, we want to edify each other, not discriminate and destroy ourselves. We should edify and encourage one another that may minister grace unto the hearers. Though there's people that are listening to us. You might not think so, but there are people that are always listening to you. You young people, guess what? You got little ones that actually look up to you and stuff like that. So we should be careful about what we talk to. And of course, us adults, we have to be careful what we say and do too, because we have coworkers. If you're parents, you've got your kids listening to you as well. And of course, you got young people that are looking up to you as well. We have to be careful about what we say and what we do. And obviously, thinking back on Matthew chapter 12, that we will give an account with every word, every idle word that we say, we will give an account of. So we should be careful about the tongue. The tongue is very powerful, and we should learn to control it, obviously, through the Word of God and through the Scriptures. And through God's grace, we should be able to overcome and control and keep our tongue and our speech in check. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. And again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the tongue. The tongue is a very, very, very powerful tool. It can be used for good, such as giving the gospel to the lost and to tell how good God is with all the blessings in our lives and how He takes care of His children. It can also be a weapon of destruction, destroying relationships with fellow believers, Lord, and talking bad about the things that the lost people do, and talking about politicians and being negative and complaining, lying and gossiping, all these things, Lord, that the tongue can do. Help us to be diligent in our speech, Lord, and help us to walk in truth, giving the truth, but also having grace with it as well. And help us as we go out our days that we will practice, if we haven't now, to grow in our speech, Lord, and to mature and be careful in what we say. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.